I think whoever's writing those poems feels one to you. You're blood. You're a sibling. You matter more. They wanted or needed your attention, your awareness of them. But I didn't know who sent the poems. That's for the big reveal. Writing, especially about good against evil, and the spaces between, you have to dig into motivations, actions, reactions. Why would this character make this choice at this time? Yeah, they're just comic books, but don't say just. You write strong stories with multidimensional, complex characters. Well, thanks for that. It doesn't make me Freud or Jung or whoever, but it does, or should, make you think about not only what makes a hero, but what makes a villain. What are they after? What do they need? Here, it's pretty clear from where I'm sitting, the woman's to blame. Women.
She frowned, lifted her wine as she considered. Women as a species?
I think, yeah. Take the woman at the motel. They wait in her car, kill her, but they don't go after the guy she was cheating with. Where was he?
Rachel's report says he was still in the room when it happened. His statement said he took a shower, got dressed, and came out to see her car still there. He walked over, saw her. He called it in. They looked at him, too.
So the killer could have, if he'd wanted, gone to the room, knocked, then shot the guy. If it was about cheating, why wouldn't he? But it's about women. They're to blame. Not the father for cheating over and over, but the women he cheated with.
Homicidal misogyny. You think it's the son?
Not necessarily. Plenty of women hate women.
True, Adrian admitted. Sad, but true.
And she's the one with a job requiring travel, so she can toss a poem in the mail at various locations. Either one, or both. But I think your PI is well on her way to putting it all together. And this is going to be behind you.
She sat quietly, sipped her wine, watched the grill smoke. Here's what I think, she said at length. I think having someone willing to talk this through with me, instead of trying to nudge it aside to protect me, helps me nudge it aside. And I think having someone who believes I'm going to be able to put this behind me helps me believe it. Then she shrugged. And hell, women have been getting the blame since Eve. I wonder if they knew their mother started this ball rolling.
If they did, it wasn't suicide.
She jerked back. What?
Sorry. Too far.
No, wait. God. She sat back, found her bearings. That makes horrible sense. She, the mother, the woman, betrayed the father. If we stick with not blaming him for cheating, but the women he cheated with, she betrayed him. If she'd just kept looking away, they'd have the father, the life. Everything would be just fine. And how easy would it be to slip pills to someone already addicted to them? Just give her more and more until she's gone.
She goes to sleep forever. A quieter death. No violence because she's still the mother. She's blood.
It starts with a blood tie and ends with one. With me. It doesn't change anything, but it's oddly helpful to see how it might have all started, all formed.
I could be completely off base.
Right now, it gives me something solid to stand on. When someone wants to kill you, you want to know why. I'm going to talk to Rachel about all this. Tomorrow. Right now, it's a lot to ask, but let's put it away.
It's away until you want to open it again. You can't raise kids, own a business, and find a space for life without compartmentalizing. So how about I tell you about a beach house on Buck Island, North Carolina?
It took her another minute to switch gears. You actually found something this late in the season?
Connections. Do you remember my friend Spencer?
Sort of.
I'm going to lie and tell him you remember him well and fondly. Anyway, he lives in Connecticut with his wife. They have a very slick vacation home on Buck Island and generally spend the bulk of the summer there, but it happens Mrs. Spencer is expecting their first kid in July. They're down there now and plan to come back in a couple weeks.
Hope to go back, if all's well, maybe in August. Rotate some of the family in and out. But we can have it for 2 weeks starting July 5th. Dog-friendly, by the way, as they have two pugs. Game?
2 weeks?
She hadn't believed he could pull it off. And 2 weeks.
What do I do about all that?
He looked out at the gardens, as she did.
I'd say we both know enough people who'd take care of it, especially if they can haul off tomatoes or whatever.
I haven't been away for 2 weeks straight, ever. Not in one place. Not when it wasn't work-oriented.
You can work there. So can I, when we need to. It's got a gym.
Now you're toying with me.
Its own pool, oceanfront. It's a quiet area, so you go for the beach, the views. You want more jazz, you head down to Nag's Head or down to Myrtle Beach.
I don't need the jazz. It sounds amazing.
Potential downside. It's a drive, a substantial one. With two kids, two dogs.
I like kids and dogs.
I've noticed.
Are your kids going to be all right with this?
They like you. Plus, beach.
I'd love it. 2 weeks of beach and nothing. She couldn't imagine it. If they're all right with it, really all right with it,
I'm in. If they're not, you need to take them anyway. It's too good to miss. I'll talk to them. I know my kids. They'll be fine with it.
Okay, then. I'm going to check those potatoes.
I'll deal with the salad. And how do you like your steak?
If I'm going to eat a hunk of meat, I want it rare.
Now we're talking.
They cooked their first meal together, ate on the porch while the sun eased toward the western mountains. They talked about his kids, the youth center, his work, hers. She found it just wonderful to talk about things that mattered in the everyday.
You're always in charge of the potatoes.
Replete, Raylan sat back with his wine.
I'm impressed with your salad and grilling skills. And as a Rizzo, I don't say that lightly.
Wait till you taste my mac and cheese. Only from a box in a pinch,
he added when she narrowed her eyes.
It's my mother's recipe.
Jan makes exceptional mac and cheese, as I recall.
See? I'll put it on our beach menu.
Watching her, he poured out the last of the wine.
I like your face.
Amused, she propped her chin on her hand. Is that so?
Faces and body types are an interest of mine for obvious reasons. I drew yours once, your face, when we were kids.
You did?
Practicing. I drew Maya's a lot. Usually gave her demon horns or a forked tongue. Your grandparents, such good faces. Sometimes I'd sit in Rizzo's after school when Mom was on shift and try to draw faces of people who came in. It was easier to draw characters with masks or cowls, so I wanted to practice. I wonder if I had a little thing going even back then.
For art? Absolutely.
No, for you. Maybe a little thing. Seems to me I drew Cassie. Remember Cassie? As a snake girl because she was sneaky. Not that I held that against her. I admired it. But I just drew your face. So, might have had a thing. I sure as hell have one now.
She reached out for his hand. That's a relief, because I have a thing going too.
I like thinking about you when you're not there. What's she doing now? Maybe I'll look out the window and she'll be going to see Tisha next door. Or maybe I'll drive to get groceries and see her out running. I didn't know I could feel this way again. That I'd want to.
Her heart just stumbled in her chest. She rose, gave his hand a tug so he stood as well.
I think we should take the dishes in. Stack them up to deal with later.
Later works for me.
And we can give our very good dogs a chew bone while we go upstairs.
They deserve it.
And
she moved into him, tipped her face to his.
Then later than that, we can deal with the dishes before we have some cappuccino on the front porch. Look down on the lights of Traveler's Creek, listen to the quiet a while before we go upstairs again.
All of that.
he murmured before he kissed her.
I've got a bag in the car.
She smiled. You can get that later, too. Dogs and dishes. Then I want to be with you. Just you, Raylan. Chapter 23. When Adrian woke in the morning, curled up against Raylan in the middle of the bed, rain pattered lazily outside. Its steady murmur sounded like music. The light, a soft, quiet gray, seemed to drift, a gauzy curtain shimmering in the breeze, whispering through the open windows. Another day, she might have found it gloomy, just damp and gloomy. But now it struck her as romantic as Camelot. So she pressed against him, body to body, skin to skin, trailing her lips over his face, the scruff of morning stubble, and felt him harden against her, even as his eyes, sleepy and green, opened. Good morning, she murmured.
It already has possibilities.
Probabilities, she corrected, and fisted her hands in his hair to bring his mouth to hers. She wanted the heat, so she gave it, letting it spread, live embers smoldering to a spark igniting a low, slow flame. She rolled onto him to take the lead, to take control, pleasing herself as she knew she pleased him. Strong hands roaming over her thickened her pulse, a drumbeat with the music of the rain. Lips seeking lips to slide, slide, slide into the deep, quickened her heartbeat, an echo to his. She wanted the taste of him, the side of his throat, his jaw, the hard line of his shoulder. Then again his mouth, a wonder of sensations with tongues gliding, teeth grazing. A quick nip to tease, a breathy moan in response. And those tastes of him filled her until every sense coalesced into pleasure. Her eyes locked with his, no words spoken as she shifted. When she straddled him, she took him in slowly, slowly, deeply, deeply to spin out that pleasure, and watched it conquer him even as it swamped her. She'd taken him from a dream into a dream, with everything soft and heated and druggingly beautiful. Lost in her, completely lost in her, he surrendered to her, to the moment, to what they made together. In the hazy light, her long, agile body rose over his, rocked to her own languid rhythm while the sound of the rain closed them in, creating a world for them away from everything, everyone but each other. Her eyes looked into him, through him, gold and green and heavy. He saw pleasure in them and power and knowledge and everything that made a woman compelling, dangerous, irresistible. When she broke, casting herself over that rising wave, her head fell back, her body arched, her arms lifted so her hands scooped and turned through the wild beauty of her hair. She moaned, sighed, a woman embracing her own power, taking her own triumph, and never stopped moving, never stopped her slow, steady beat. He had to grip her hips, hold on to her to stop himself from snatching that control and taking his release when she shook her hair back and smiled down at him. No words. Still no words. Watching him, her breath coming on quick little sighs, she ran her hands up her body, gliding them over her breasts until he could taste them. He swore he could taste them. Then down again. Then onto his. She shifted, bowed down to take his mouth with hers. He felt her shudder, heard her quick gasp as she rolled over the next wave. The sound, just that small sound, snapped his restraint.
I can't. I need...
He whipped her onto her back, hiked up her hips. Undone, simply undone, he drove himself into her, half mad when those long legs wrapped around him. This time, the force of the tide swept them both under. She lay limp, mildly concerned her heart might beat itself right out of her chest.
"Let's just stay here a minute," she suggested. "Or an hour. Maybe a day, until our vital signs level off again."
"What? Did you say something? I can't hear with the blood still pounding in my ears."
"That's not where it was pounding a minute ago."
He laughed, snickered, laughed again, then lifted his head and grinned down at her.
"You wrecked me."
"That was the plan. I'm not usually a fan of a rainy Saturday, but this one started off really well."
"Good thing for me, because I'm going to be spending the rest of it dealing with two kids and a dog on a rainy Saturday."
He lowered his head again to nuzzle her neck.
"This should give me the strength to get through it."
"And you'll bring them to dinner tomorrow?"
"They're looking forward to it. Mo's picked out an outfit. Of course, she picks out an outfit to eat a sandwich."
"I like her style."
"She's got plenty of it. Laura Lee used to say she studied and critiqued the pages of Vogue in utero."
He caught himself, wondered if lying naked with Adrian was the best time to mention his dead wife.
"Anyway, okay if I grab a shower?"
"Sure. I'll go down, let the dogs out, and I need to put a little breakfast together."
"You need to?"
"Yes, I do. After that workout, I'm starving."
While he showered, he wondered what he should do about what was happening to him. If he should do anything. How he should do it, if anything. He'd meant what he'd told her the night before. He hadn't known he could feel this way again. But he did. Holding up his hand, he studied his wedding ring. He'd worn it so long it felt like part of him. But was it fair? Was it right? To wear it when he was sleeping with another woman? When he was clearly in love with another woman? It wasn't just sex. Maybe he'd half convinced himself it could be, would be, but he knew himself better than that. What had she said that day? The day she'd brought the damn free weights? Love wasn't always about sex. Sex wasn't always about love. True. Absolutely. But when it hit both, it was miraculous. He knew it because he'd had two miracles in his life. But he didn't know how she felt. Cared about him, sure. Liked him a lot, sure. Added to it, he came with a package deal. Two kids and a dog, he thought again. A lot of people didn't want to take on a package. He could ask her how she felt, what she felt. Generally, he preferred the direct way. But, one more but, was it fair or right to push there when she had real and serious problems? Some crazy stalker was threatening her. She didn't need pressure from him when she already had more pressure than anyone should deal with. One thing at a time, he told himself as he toweled off. He'd help her get through the problem as much as he could. Spend time with her when he could. Have his kids spend time with her as much as she was willing. Then he'd see what came next. When he went down, she had the dogs eating kibble from side-by-side bowls.
"Perfect timing. Do you know how to use the coffee machine? I'll just put these together."
"First, what are these?"
"You're having a poached egg on a whole wheat bagel with tomato and spinach and a side of Greek yogurt with berries and granola. It has it all."
"Okay, that actually sounds not scary. I can make you coffee, but I'd rather one of the Cokes I saw in your fridge. That's my usual morning caffeine."
"Really?"
She stopped what she was doing to stare at him. She'd automatically made him coffee on Saturday mornings because she'd assumed he'd want it.
"That's my favorite thing, a cold Coke in the morning. I let myself have it maybe once a week."
"Why once a week?"
"For many reasons, but I'll have what you're having."
She plated the food.
"I'd make this for my grandfather, if I beat him to the kitchen first. He usually went with cold cereal during the week, but weekends, he'd get down here and it would be pancakes, French toast, bacon, and more bacon."
Bacon is the god of all foods.
He sat with her, took a bite of the healthy alternative.
But this is great. I wouldn't have put the combo together. I can try this on the kids, with scrambled eggs.
You can't poach an egg?
No clue. But an 8-year-old boy eating one with his little sister? It would be, hey, look, Mo, it's an eyeball. Then he'd stab, stab, ooh, gack, gack, it bleeds yellow, and she would never eat an egg again.
I can see you know this because you have a sister and did similar disgusting things.
It was my job, and Wells men take their jobs seriously.
And to think I used to wish for a sibling. Which, come to think of it, he put a hand on her arm.
Don't think about it.
Don't worry. I have enough to do today to keep my brain otherwise occupied. Work out, followed by doing my weekend domestic chores, followed by taking another look at Hector's rough cut of the high school video. Then I have to start working on the content of my next solo.
He knew how to keep her brain otherwise occupied now. How do you figure it? The content?
You've got to mix it up. People get bored doing the same routines. They may go back to an old favorite, but they want something a little different to try. I've got to keep up with what's current, what's safe, what's good for beginners, what works for the more experienced. And you've got to add some fun in there. Some challenge, too. It's like a healthy breakfast. It gets boring if it's all granola and quinoa. She smiled as he ate the last bite. Want another?
No, thanks. But that was a surprise. You should do a cookbook.
She jabbed his shoulder with a finger. That's what I told my mother. I'm just starting to play with the idea.
You'd be good at it.
He kissed her cheek.
I'll get the dishes. I expect to ward off some of the rainy Saturday sorrows by telling the kids about the beach. There will be cheers and celebrations, he said, as he started loading the dishes into the dishwasher. Then Mariah will announce she needs new beach clothes.
Well, wouldn't she? He aimed a hard stare over his shoulder.
She doesn't need your encouragement. And I'll face what fathers across the land dread and fear, a shopping trip.
I could take her. He turned completely around.
What?
I'm also going to need new beach clothes. I'll take her. Girl shopping, girl lunch, girl talk. We'll have fun.
You have no idea what you'd be in for. I'm serious.
She sipped her Coke. Challenge accepted. We'll talk about it over dinner, Mariah and I, and pick a day after school's out.
I need you to swear something, right here and now.
For God's sake, Raylan, I won't let her run in traffic or play with matches.
Not that. I want your solemn oath that after this experience, you'll still have sex with me, no matter what happens.
She swiped her finger across her heart. So sworn.
I'm going, before you come to your senses. Then I'm locking you in because when she brings up shopping, and she will, I'm telling her you're taking her.
Fine with me. She rose, wrapped her arms around his waist. Men, you're such wussies about a little shopping.
Yes, and not ashamed of it. Don't work too hard, okay?
Just hard enough. He kissed her, held on a minute.
We'll see you tomorrow. Kiss your sweetheart goodbye, Jasper. We gotta go.
When he got to his mother's, he saw Nana Magic had his kids working on, peacefully, a jigsaw puzzle on the dining room table, and his mother stood on a stepladder cleaning the high shelves in her kitchen.
Get down from there. What are you doing standing on a ladder?
Since I don't have the ability to levitate, it helps me reach these shelves.
Get down, he repeated. I'll do it. You can't be standing on ladders.
She peered down at him, orange glow in one hand, rag in the other.
Are you saying I'm an old lady?
No, I'm saying you're my mom.
Good answer. I'm done anyway.
As she came down, with him spotting her, he saw the various dust catchers she kept on the shelves. Cookbooks on the bottom, easy-to-reach one, he remembered.
You just hold on, he ordered. I'll put the stuff back. You can hand it to me. But hold on.
Now she slapped her hands on her hips.
I have to wipe it all down or wash it anyway. And just when did you start thinking you're the boss of me?
Since I saw you standing on a ladder.
Just wait, and I'll do it.
He walked into the dining room, put a hand on each kid's head, studied the puzzle.
Candy store, very cool. You're almost done.
It's raining, Daddy.
Mariah tried a big, colorful piece in nearly every available spot before she found its place.
Nana said she has another one we can take home to do if the rain won't go away.
You can help with that one, but not this one.
Bradley, tongue caught in his teeth, found the centerpiece to a giant bag of M&Ms.
Then I will merely observe.
As he did, as they neared the finish, he saw Bradley slide two pieces under his hand while he reached for another. When it came down to the last pieces, he started to give his son a poke, but his mother, in the kitchen, facing away, just turned her head. Raylan hadn't considered, ever, the eyes in the back of the head mythos. He'd dubbed it long, long ago, the mom mind meld. And she sent Bradley the look. Bradley wilted under it, as all humans, mammals, fish or fowl, or otherworldly creatures would.
No more pieces! Where are the pieces?
As his sister hunted, even looked under the table, Bradley slid one piece over.
Here they are. Last two. Like Nana said, okay?
Flushed with excitement and thankfully oblivious to the attempted coup, Mariah snagged her piece.
We count down. 3, 2, 1.
And they set the last pieces in unison.
Yay! Look, Daddy, we did it all by ourselves. Yum, yum, candy.
Nana said if we finished it without fighting, we could have a Hershey bar.
Bradley looked up at Raylan.
Can we?
Nana rules. But go upstairs, get all your stuff together first. I'm going to help Nana finish this. Then we've got to go.
They raced off with Jasper on their heels. Raylan picked up a dishcloth to start drying.
They brighten my world, she said.
You brighten theirs. I want to say, while the bright is out of earshot, I've concluded that, with your superpowers, you know Adrian and I are doing jigsaw puzzles together.
She smiled, handed him the old Delft teapot that had been his grandmother's.
I've also concluded doing jigsaw puzzles is making both of you happy.
It is. We are. You know the crap she's dealing with.
Enough to worry me, yes. Maya told me she, or Lena, hired a detective.
And the detective's making progress. But in the meantime, and in the spirit of giving her a break, of seeing what comes next, I got Spencer's beach house for 2 weeks in July. I asked her to come with me and the kids.
Then it's more than jigsaw puzzles for you. Up you go. Top shelf first. Don't question your feelings,
she told him as she handed him the teapot.
Just feel them. You have a good, strong heart and so much room in it.
I have to talk to the kids about it. They have to be okay with it.
Of course. You're raising good, strong hearts with lots of room in them.
She handed him a depression glass biscuit jar.
Careful with that.
Then she put a hand on his leg.
I loved their mother like my own child. She brightened my life, too.
I know.
Love isn't finite, Raylan. It always makes more room.
He thought of that as he drove home with the kids bombarding him with what they'd done at Nana's. Built a fort out of bed linens, made s'mores, played the game of life and Yahtzee and Old Maid. In the jigsaw mode, they wanted to start the new one as soon as they walked in the door. So he set them up. Sat down to work it with them while the rain splattered, and Jasper decided it was as good a time as any for a nap.
How many more days until school's over, Bradley?
13. Only 13 more school days to freedom.
Right. I've been working on a list of summer chores.
Dad!
Bradley slumped dramatically in his chair, while Mariah systematically looked for end pieces.
Oh, yeah. And the first one is to put up a basketball hoop. Been meaning to get to that. And there's porch sweeping, plant watering, room cleaning. I've got a long list.
Summer's for fun.
I'm working that in. Basketball hoop, the summer reading contest, bike riding, hanging out with pals, going to the park, a couple weeks at the beach, family cookouts.
The beach!
Mariah squealed it.
We're going to the beach! Can we get the same house like last time?
Well, no, he began, as Bradley leaped up to do wild celebratory dances. Because we're going to a different beach.
How come?
Bradley demanded.
That was a good beach.
Yeah, but so's this. You get to go to a whole other state. North Carolina. I'll show you on the map. My friend Spencer's letting us use his beach house right on the ocean. And it has a swimming pool.
A pool!
Bradley began to dance again, but Mariah reserved judgment.
Is it a nice house, like the other?
It's a very nice house.
Will I still get to have my own room and not have to share with a stinky boy?
Yes.
Raylan decided to ignore Bradley's mouth-farting spree.
It's a big house, lots of rooms. So I invited Adrian to come with us, if you're okay with it.
The mouth farts stopped as Bradley eyed him.
Two girls, two boys.
Mariah nodded.
She's nice. She helped me with my cartwheel once.
I didn't know that.
She came to see Tisha when I was at Finn's and helped me do a cartwheel right. She can do bunches of them. And she smells good. I like her clothes. Finn said he saw you kiss her on the mouth. Is she your girlfriend?
Well, shit, Raylan thought. So much for easing into it. She's a girl, and my friend, and we like each other.
He looked at Bradley now.
You like her, don't you?
She can walk on her hands. That's cool. And she talks regular, not all, "Ooh, aren't you getting big?"
he said in a rather excellent falsetto sing-song before he rolled his eyes.
She knows stuff like why the Joker is Batman's nemesis.
Essential things.
I like her.
Then it's okay if she and Sadie come with us to the beach?
Jasper loves Sadie. Sadie's Jasper's girlfriend for sure.
Mariah hopped up.
I need beach clothes, Daddy. I need new clothes for the beach. Can we go shopping?
Funny you should ask. Adrian said she needed new beach clothes if she went with us, and said maybe the two of you could go together.
Mariah's mouth dropped open. Her eyes went to saucers.
I can shop with a girl? Just a girl?
If you want. We're going to her house for dinner tomorrow, so you could talk about it.
I want to go shopping with Adrian. I have to go up to my room right now and see what I need. I need sandals and flip-flops and three new bathing suits.
Slow down. Three?
You can't wear the same one every day.
A female eye roll this time.
You have to wash out the salt from the ocean and the stuff from the pool, and you need three. I'm going up right now. I can make a list.
On the wings of a proposed shopping spree, his fashionista ran from the room. Bradley sat back down.
I need to talk to you. Private.
Okay.
Are you going to make sex with Adrian?
Inside his head, Raylan's brain exploded. He had to run a hand over his hair to make sure the flames were metaphorical.
Wow. Did not see that coming.
You kissed her on the mouth.
I did. One doesn't always follow the other.
But when Bradley just watched him, he figured he had to shoot straight.
Sex is complicated and private. And it should be. But under the circumstances, I have feelings for Adrian, and we're both grown-ups. So, yes.
You kissed Mom on the mouth. A lot. And you made sex with her because you have to make sex to have babies.
I did. We did. We wanted you and Mo. You don't always make sex to have babies, so you...
8 years old, Raylan thought. Closing in on 9, sure, but still, how much was too much?
I loved your mom so much.
But you don't love her anymore?
Now Raylan's heart twisted.
Oh, Bradley, I do.
Reassurance, Raylan realized. The kid wanted reassurance, not a biology lesson.
I'll always love her.
He pulled the boy out of the chair onto his lap.
And all I have to do is look at you, at Mo, and see her. She's in you, and I love seeing her in you.
Mo doesn't remember as much, because she was just a baby, practically. But I do. I still talk to her in my head sometimes.
Me too.
Bradley looked up.
You really do?
Yeah. I'm always going to miss her. But all I have to do is look at you and Mo, and she's there. I love her. I love that we made you and Mariah together.
His mother's words came back to him, as if she'd said them for just this moment.
Love makes room, Brad. There's always more room for love.
After a long, rainy day, the afternoon playdate, a movie marathon he approved for his own sanity, Raylan checked on his kids one last time. They slept as they always did. Mariah cuddled with her stuffed animal of the week. Bradley sprawled out in a bed littered with action figures. He went into his bedroom, sat on the side of the bed, and studied his wedding ring. When she sat beside him, he just sighed out her name.
Loralee.
I'd be sad if you didn't keep a place for me in your heart.
You're always there.
I know. And you know. Our kids know. I bet Adrian knows. I really like her. You know that too.
I didn't think this would happen. That I'd feel this way about anyone else, ever.
But you do. I'm glad you do.
He looked at her, so lovely, so real to him.
Are you?
Why would you think I'd want you to be alone? I couldn't love you and want that. It's time to take it off, honey. It's time. It's not forgetting me to take it off. You're building a new life for yourself, for the kids. This is a good house, Raylan. It's a happy one. You knew it was time for that. You know it's time for this.
Yeah, I know.
Put it in the keepsake box in your drawer, the one where we put the locks of our kids' hair, their sonogram pictures, all those sweet little memories. Keep it there.
He nodded, got up to open the drawer, take out the box. He started to take off the ring, turned back to her.
I'm not going to see you anymore. Not after this, am I?
Not like this. But you said it yourself. You only have to look at the kids.
Loralee, you changed my world.
We changed each other's.
I remember the first time I saw you, when you walked into the fine arts class. You took my breath away. I remember the last time I saw you when you drove away. And so many moments between, Loralee. But now I can remember so many of them and smile or feel good, feel blessed. I had them with you.
She tapped a hand to her heart.
Keep that place for me there. I don't mind the company, honey. I'm glad for it.
He looked down at the ring. Closed his eyes a moment, then drew it off.
You can see where it was, where the sun couldn't get through.
That'll fade in time. You're letting in the light.
He put the ring in the keepsake box, and she was gone. Chapter 24. On a sun-kissed June afternoon, Adrian sat in Tisha's home office holding the baby while her business manager went over financial reports, budgetary issues, and marketing plans for Rizzo's and the youth center. Chubby with mother's milk, Thaddeus waved his teether while Phineas sat on the floor, apparently building a futuristic city with Legos. All the while, the notes of Monroe's piano drifted from upstairs in what Adrian thought must be a ballad about heartbreak. "Finally," Tisha concluded, "Jan's made a very strong and well-thought-out pitch for a raise and promotion for Barry. Since Bob Ray, the de facto assistant manager for the last year or so, is retiring, she'd like you to consider making Barry her official assistant manager, with a raise and benefits commensurate with that position. I have her letter of recommendation. I second it. And I'll read it, but I'm going to approve because I know Barry. I know his work, his loyalty, and his love for Rizzo's. Isn't that right?" she asked Thaddeus as she gave him a bounce. "Great. I'll let Jan know. Meanwhile, when you and Kayla start shopping again, stick to the budget."
"Yes, ma'am."
"We didn't go that much over on lighting and plumbing fixtures. You go a little over here, a little over there, and before you know it, you're a lot over everywhere. And you went 1.6% over on the lighting and a full 2% over on the plumbing." Adrian bounced the baby again.
"Your mom is so strict."
"Daddy isn't."
Carefully, Phineas chose another block.
"He says sometimes you just gotta have a wrestle, even if it's bedtime."
"Somebody has to be the referee around here, little man of mine. What are you building this time?"
"I'm making Finville. When I grow up, I'll make my own town and be the boss of everybody."
"How are you going to be an astronaut and boss of Finville?" He gave his mother the most patient of looks.
"I'm gonna build Finville in space."
"Of course. What was I thinking?"
"I don't have preschool all summer, but I start kindergarten after. I'll ride the bus with Bradley and Mariah and save a seat for Colin because the bus gets us first."
"How do you know it gets you first?" Adrian wondered.
"Because it picks up Mo's friend Sissy after Mo, and Sissy lives across the street from Colin, so I'll save him a seat because we're best friends. We won't need school buses in Finville. Everyone will teleport."
Adrian looked at him with his gorgeous dark curls, his big, beautiful brown eyes, and fell in love with him all over again. Very efficient and speedy.
"Buses use gas, and it's not good for the air. And we have to make the air in Finville because it's in space. Hey, Daddy, I'm building Finville."
Monroe sauntered in, crouched down, and gave the emerging city a serious study.
"You're going to live there," he tapped a tower, "because it's the tallest. You can look out and make sure the city's at peace."
He gave Sadie, sprawled by Adrian's feet, a good rub.
"Shift change. Sorry I didn't hear you come in, or I'd have gotten the kids sooner."
"I got to hold the baby and watch the erecting of Finville. I loved what you were playing a bit ago. Do you have lyrics?"
"Working on them. The music came first this time. Let's take Thad for a stroll, Finn. Get us all some fresh. Mama won't mind if you leave your city for now, will you, Mama?"
"No, you go ahead. Thad might need a change."
"Got it covered, don't we, Finn?"
Monroe hauled the now bouncing on his own baby into his arms, and Adrian held hers out for Phineas. "Hey, handsome, I need one." He gave her a hug, rocking side to side the way she found so endearing.
"You can live in Finville, too."
"I'm counting on it." As he walked out with his father, Phineas's whisper carried back.
"Are we going for ice cream, Daddy?"
"Boy, you're going to get me in trouble. Your mama's got fine ears on her."
Adrian shook her head. "You're not too strict for ice cream on a June afternoon." "They like to play the game. I like to play it, too. We still have to go over some numbers for New Gen, but since other ears are now out of the room, I'm switching to personal. First, the tough stuff. Any word from your investigator?"
"Actually, yes.
She located 14 more women, all alive and well. She's spoken to all but one of them and is heading to Richmond, is probably there by now, to speak to the last in person.
Okay, Tisha nodded slowly. That's good, that's solid. That's a little better than 41% alive and well.
I can tell you it's brought me some serious relief.
And it should. On the flip side, with those she found who aren't alive and well added on to 14, she's got the same percentage to locate. She will. She's thorough.
She is. Nikki Bennett isn't back in D.C. yet. She detoured to another client, apparently. No luck locating the brother, not yet anyway. She did speak with some neighbors. Nobody's seen him in years.
Maybe the sister killed him and buried him in the basement.
Now that's uplifting.
Just spitballing. Anyway, I feel better knowing neither of them are around and your PI's digging. I want this shit over. You've dealt with it long enough. Case closed.
She slapped her hands together.
Then you can go to the beach with my sexy neighbor and just enjoy.
You're sure about taking care of the garden?
It's 2 weeks, Adrian, not 2 years. We can handle it.
Now for the fun stuff. How's it going with you and said sexy? We had a really good dinner with the kids. Mariah's already got an agenda started for the shopping trip. You know, I thought, hell, sure, I can take a kid shopping, no big. But I never have. Maybe you should, Tisha ticked her finger back and forth.
First, you know I only shop when cornered. And second, she's revved about going with you. It's a bonding op.
Take it.
She's a good kid. They both are. When you live next door, you know.
But do I just let her go wild, or do I rein her in, or what?
You're talking to the referee, remember? So I'm staying neutral on it.
Go with your gut. And stop looking for obstacles. I'm not, exactly. It's just, he took off his wedding ring.
Oh.
Puffing out her cheeks, Tisha sat back.
That's a big.
Yes. I don't know exactly what it means. I don't know if I should tell him I noticed or just not. I wasn't expecting, when we started what we started, anything like this.
For you or for him?
Either. Both. You've known me forever, Tish. I've never had a serious relationship.
Because you avoided them.
Maybe. No, not maybe,
she admitted at Tisha's steady look.
Yes, I avoided them. And this one just happened. How do we... We've both got our own businesses, demanding careers. Add 2 kids to his plate, add Rizzo's and now the center to mine. How do you possibly juggle all that? I don't know how you and Monroe juggle all you have to do.
It's all in the rhythm and the teamwork.
Are you looking for an out?
I'm not. And that worries me.
I'm not a worrier, not really. You just figure out what you need or want to do, then you do it.
She always had. She'd believed she always would.
I don't know what I need or want, exactly, when it comes to this. I've never had to figure that out. And I'm probably overreacting, which I don't think I do a lot either.
Tisha angled her head, stared up at the ceiling. I remember you laughing at me when I came home, insisting I had to move to South America the first time Monroe asked me to marry him. You were only going to move to the West Coast the first time he said he loved you.
True. Both illustrate even sensible people worry and overreact a lot of times when they fall in love. God, I wasn't looking for that or expecting that. You can't organize that into a program. You can't schedule it or decide what should come next and push to it.
Hard for you to let things evolve. You've driven your own train a long time, Adrian. But, she added, holding up a finger, you also know how to change tracks when needed. You changed tracks when I met you and changed your life and mine. You did it again when you moved back here. Maybe for now you could try sharing the controls with somebody else and enjoy the scenery for a while.
I really wasn't nervous about any of this before.
Because he wore that ring, and his wife was a kind of buffer.
Jesus, Tisha, I don't want to think of her that way.
I imagine he did, too. At least some.
He just realized before you did that time was over. Relax into it, Riz, and take in the scenery. I guess I have to try, because I can't come over here and not take Sadie over to visit her boyfriend. Bore me with numbers, she told Tisha. Shut my brain down with them. Numbers are life and light and truth. An hour later, her brain frazzled by those numbers, Adrian walked next door. Just play it casual, confident, easy, she told herself. It's just a quick stop so Sadie and Jasper could have a visit, and he very likely had his head in his work. But even before she knocked, she heard the pounding music, saw lights flashing against the windows. She'd never known him to work with that kind of noise, but maybe he was trying out a scene. She'd have knocked, but Jasper sent out a howl, and Sadie answered with a quick triple bark. When Raylan opened the door, the music poured out in a flood, and the colored lights spun around his living room where his kids, whom she'd assumed were in school, danced like maniacs. Raylan wore sunglasses with rainbow shades, a backward ball cap, and a purple spangled vest over his t-shirt.
Well, she managed, this is unexpected.
Sporting a pair of fairy wings, a tutu, and a plastic tiara, Mariah raced over.
It's a dance party. Come dance.
A dance party?
A school's out for summer dance party, Raylan told her. Bradley, turn the music down a minute.
Oh, you don't have to do that. But Bradley, in a green wig, a Batman shirt, and a cat-eye mask, turned it down to a mutter.
Dad set it all up. We got off the bus, and he had it all set up. It's club vacation.
He'd shoved all the furniture back to clear what was obviously the dance floor, and some sort of light machine shot colors onto the walls. Streamers and balloons spilled from the ceiling. All her earlier worries simply dissolved in delight.
Can't have a dance party without dressing for it, Raylan added.
You can dance,
Mariah tugged her hand.
You can.
I'm afraid I didn't dress for a party.
We got stuff.
She raced to a chest, flung it open, then raced back with another tiara and a pink boa. Wow, who doesn't love a tiara? I don't want to push into your family party, she began.
Club vacation is open to all, Raylan told her, as Bradley eyed her.
She started to make another excuse, but the boy stepped up to her.
You can walk on your hands. Can you dance on them?
Can I dance on my hands?
Can you do the splits?
Mariah demanded. Oh, I see. Nodding, she fit on the tiara, wrapped the boa around her neck. It's an audition. Well then, Bradley, hit it.
Hit what?
She means turn the music back up.
When he did, Adrian, grateful she'd worn leggings, toed off her shoes. She did a couple of hip wiggles, a shoulder bump, then flowed down, set her hands, flowed her legs up. She matched the beat, walking forward and back, side to side. Split her legs as she walked in a circle, then flowed down into a bridge, gauged her ground for a spring, and dropped into the splits. Threw out her arms for the flourish. While the kids applauded, she tossed the loose end of the boa over her shoulder. Did I pass the audition?
That was super cool,
Bradley said.
Highest praise.
Raylan held out a hand.
Looks like we're dancing.
While Adrian danced, Rachel sat in the tidy living room of Tracy Potter's sleek townhome in downtown Richmond. She'd done a background check and knew Tracy had been a year behind Lena at Georgetown, earned degrees in journalism and communication. She'd worked her way up to an anchor slot on the local NBC affiliate, where she currently led the 6 and 11 o'clock broadcasts. A local celebrity, she married in her late 20s, had two kids, divorced in her mid-30s, and remarried at 40 to a real estate developer. She had 3 grandchildren, 1 from her eldest daughter and 2 from her stepson. She and her husband belonged to the country club, enjoyed golf, and owned a second home in San Simeon.
Even up close, Rachel judged the woman could pass for 40, which meant some very excellent work, even if she had superior genes going for her. Her hair, a thick and expertly highlighted medium blonde, waved around a face of creamy skin with sharp blue eyes and a perfectly tinted mouth of deep rose. She crossed her legs in snug white jeans and sat back with her Wedgwood cup of coffee.
"I can give you about 30 minutes," she began. "I wanted to have this discussion here rather than at my office. It's old news, but I'd rather not fuel the gossip tank."
"I appreciate you meeting with me."
"Curiosity. What does my long-ago, ill-advised, and brief affair with John Bennett have to do with anything today?"
"You're aware Professor Bennett was killed during his attack on Lena Rizzo, her minor child, and her female friend in Georgetown a couple decades ago."
"It was all over the news at the time. I'm a reporter. Even if I hadn't slept with him nearly a decade before that, I'd have been aware. I'm also aware the child was his biological daughter. I'm aware he physically assaulted both women and the child. Did I mention ill-advised affair?"
"You did. Can I ask if you considered it ill-advised prior to that incident?"
"I considered it ill-advised when I saw John physically assaulting Lena Rizzo, though I didn't know at that moment who she was, in his office. I was meeting him there for a quickie."
She sipped more coffee.
"It shocked me. Shouldn't have, I admit, to see him with a hand around her throat, her back to the wall. Just for an instant, but I saw that rage and violence on his face. I chose not to risk it being turned on me and ended the relationship, which wasn't a relationship."
She paused. Rachel waited.
"I was 19 and foolish, but not that foolish. Foolish enough to have sex with a married man, in the middle, he claimed, of a complicated divorce, though that was a lie, but not foolish enough to risk getting knocked around for some exciting illicit sex. Why did Lena Rizzo give you my name after all this time?"
"She didn't. I'd assume she didn't know yours or didn't remember it. You're on a list, Ms. Potter."
"What kind of list?"
"Of women like you who slept with Jonathan Bennett. There are 34 names on it. 4 of them are dead, victims or near victims of murder. 4 I've located and confirmed."
Tracy lowered her cup. Rachel gave her credit. She didn't jolt, didn't gasp. She stared, hard and long.
"I want to verify that. Off the record. You've just indicated I'm on some sort of kill list."
"I'll give you what information I can. Have you had any threats?"
"No." "Oh, you get a few who take pot shots over the internet if they don't like your reporting, but nothing like this, no."
"When did this happen?" "The deaths? Over the course of the last 13 years.
13 years? Are you serious? You were a cop. I did my research before this meeting. People die, are murdered. 4 people over that amount of time?"
"On the same list. And I still have more to locate."
"I assume Lena Rizzo's on that list. I assume she's your client."
"She's on the list. Did you ever meet or have contact with Jonathan Bennett's wife or his children?"
"No, why would I? I had a fling with him, Ms. McNee, a matter of weeks. Looking back, and I have, I should have reported him. So should have Lena Rizzo."
"Why didn't you?"
"It scared me. That one moment I saw him, really saw him. And that was a hell of a long time before Me Too. Who do you think would have taken the heat if any heat came? The tenured professor? And others on the faculty had to know what he was. Or the young undergrad who slept with him? Willingly."
"Understood. I know this is upsetting. I feel not only an obligation to my client, but to anyone I'm able to contact on that list so they're able to take precautions."
"He's been dead a very long time. Where did the list come from? Give me a break," Tracy snapped out. "How do I take precautions when I don't know what I'm up against?"
"His wife compiled the list. She knew."
"So," Tracy added, not as oblivious as he assumed, "you think his wife is, after all this time, killing women he slept with?"
His wife died, an overdose of sleeping pills, about 13 years ago.
Ah, now she put the cup aside. Had she remarried? Have family, a brother, sister?
No.
Someone obviously connected to his wife, given the timing. They had kids? How old were they? If I ever knew, I can't recall.
Old enough. Ms. Potter, I'm sure you have substantial resources considering your profession, but I'm again going to caution you. I intend to speak with both Professor Bennett's daughter and his son as soon as possible. Then I intend to turn my findings over to the FBI and the applicable police departments.
Is your name on the list?
It is not.
Then it's a job for you. It's a little more than that for me.
If you contact these individuals or alert them to my line of inquiry, they could bolt. You'd only be worse off. I hope to meet with the daughter at least in a matter of days. I'm going to do everything I can to protect my client, and by doing so, you and every other woman on that list.
I'm sure you will. You have an excellent reputation. I appreciate you warning me, and I will absolutely take precautions. Now I have to change and get to the studio.
No help for it, Rachel thought, as she got back into her car for the drive home. The woman would poke around. The nature of the beast. She could only hope the poking around didn't set off any alarms. Summer, for a single dad, opened another world and required a sharp revision of schedule. No getting the kids up, dressed, fed, and out to the bus, to return to quiet and solitary work for a solid chunk of hours. No setting his internal clock for their return, so he could at least try to wrap things up and prepare for snack time, talk time, homework time. Long summer days meant hoping the kids played together without bloodshed, because that occasionally happened, or arranging for them to play at friends' houses, which meant, by parental law, he had to reciprocate. It meant making sure they had a decent lunch, didn't end up spending the bulk of the day staring at some sort of screen. His mother, of course, loved taking them for a few hours if she had the morning or the afternoon off. Once a week, at her insistence, she took them to work with her for a couple hours. Showing them the ropes, she called it. And once a week, Maya had them over. Sometimes his backyard filled with kids, and that was fine because sometimes his kids filled other backyards. And sometimes he blew off an hour playing basketball with them, using the hoop he'd lowered to kid height. Hoping he wasn't making a major mistake, he pitched a tent in the backyard for Bradley and his two best friends. Three almost 9-year-olds, he thought. Backyard camping. What could go wrong? A lot. But as his mother had done for him, he set up a tent and he'd stock snacks, drinks, flashlights. Mariah, who'd turned her nose way up at even the idea of sleeping in a tent, was on her much-anticipated shopping spree. What could go wrong there? He didn't like to think about it.
Finn's bringing over his telescope for a while so we can look at the moon and stuff.
Tongue caught in his teeth, Bradley tried hammering in a peg, which made Raylan question again the sentimentality of using his old tent instead of buying a new, basically pop-it-open deal.
If we had a fire pit, we could cook hot dogs and marshmallows.
We don't have one, and you're not building a fire.
If we could use Ollie's dad's camp stove—
And again, no. Maybe double digits. Maybe when you're 10. You want dogs? I'll make them inside.
Not the same.